Well, we're going to get over on our subject today. There's things we'll touch into that maybe things here that I've said, but I want you to encourage and praise God. You're laboring, you're increasing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're getting better. It isn't, well, the economy's going to go under. That wouldn't surprise me for a lot of people. You know, we can go over and look at the Bible says about the wicked ain't supposed to prosper. They ain't supposed to prosper. They ain't supposed to do well. But we're trying to make them prosper. The church is trying to feed all the wicked. Trying to take care of the wicked. Why? So they don't ever face their judgment and turn. We're trying to send them to hell with full bellies and pockets full of money. Hallelujah. Well, I'll move over. I'll go preach on something else here. We're going to talk this morning about some scriptures that you know very well, but I think there's going to be some enlightenment and revelation because of what God is speaking at the time to us. There's certain things God is bringing back, as I see this, as wells that were dug in the past by people that we got to, I was very fortunate to sit under. You got to go back and drink of those wells. It's just like, you know, the Bible tells us Isaac went back and he redug the wells of his father Abraham. That's talking about physical wells, but there's a spiritual context to that. We need to go back. You know, we don't go on and forget about our forefathers of the faith. People who have done that going on to their things. No, they had revelations that you can't go on to the future without them because you go without it, I'll guarantee you're going to have a foundation that ain't going to stand. You're going to get into error. I thank God for the people that went before me that made a path, hallelujah, that I could walk on. And the only reason I can walk and create a longer path is because of what they put in me, what they did. And I thank God for it. And this we're going to look at this morning in the scriptures. Really, when we're looking at the scriptures, we're looking at really trailblazers before us, the ones who came along. Revelation. I believe there's people today getting revelation. I can see certain things that are said in scripture that I can see this, that there's certain things that they spoke that they didn't have a clear revelation on. But today, God has revealed things beyond that because of where we're at. Everybody's always going further. Hallelujah. You know, we always think of the blessing. Don't we want our children to do better in life than we did? Yeah, hallelujah. If you don't, you're a knucklehead. You know, it's like, my gosh, something wrong with you. You know, we want them to, and that's the whole desire. Well, is God different? No, did we get that from the devil? Well, that was God put it. That's God wants people to do better. So hallelujah, God wants us to do better. And I believe he's going to bring some revelation. One of the things that I want to bring to us today is because, in fact, I was talking to John Fake about it this morning. I said to him, because I didn't realize I was specifically with this, but one of the things that we have lost in the church world that we had in the past, really of wells that we drank from, one of the things that we were taught when I came into the kingdom was the fact that, and basically we're all ministers. We're all ministers. There isn't, see today we got, I told John, I just call them popes. You know, we got all these popes in the Christian. Everybody, and everybody's looking to the guy who's the so-called big deal. That's not what they're in their office for. And they need to get off of their pedestals and step down to the laity. Because God has called you, according to scripture, to do the work of the ministry. Not the popes. They are not called out. I am not called out specifically. I mean, I'd sit here and tell you story after story of how God used me before I was ever in the ministry. All the things that God did, supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost that operated through me. But I was very fortunate from this standpoint because I had a teacher who taught me that that's what was supposed to happen. I didn't know it was only supposed to operate through certain people. I didn't. Nobody told me till after a while I got in among the real brains of the bunch and found out, you know, God and his special ministries. And there's nothing, I mean, there's a fact we know that some are called to the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teacher. But what is their purpose? Their purpose is to teach and train the saint for the work of the ministry. Their job is just like going to college or any school you go to. It's so you come out with an education and you can do it. Not so you get an education and they can do it. It's not so the professor can get ahead. This is what we've done in the church where we have moved backwards instead of forwards in the church. Today, it's all the big names and all these people and they're out there and they see their focus. Their focus of ministry isn't building up the body anymore. It's about using the body. See, your job is to give me money so I can go do what I want. It becomes a thing. Now, and we gotta understand this. Because what happens, we don't view ourselves in the light of what we are. Do you realize what you are? Are you any different with the Holy Ghost in you than me? I'd hate to think that I'm the only one God would use. Dear Lord, are we in trouble? Dear God, manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And we want to talk about this. We want to see today, God lays out His plan clearly in the Scriptures. Paul understood this. Paul understood the place of the laity in the church, or the power of God in the laity. We've lost this. We've lost the people in the pew today because we went backwards. See, we had things, but when I came in the kingdom in 1980s, one thing is I joined and I loved it was the full gospel businessmen. And the full gospel businessmen were just ordinary guys. These were people who were just, there was none of preachers among us. We didn't have none of that. And these guys would hold meetings and men would get up, just ordinary guys, talk about what God did in their life. And we would have more manifestations of the Holy Ghost than most ministers today would love to have a church like we had in that full gospel businessmen's meetings. They would love to see the move of God like we had. There's a load of big name ministers would love to see a move of God like we had back in those days. And you could go from town to town in those meetings and there was moves of God going on. Through laity. Oh my God. The popes weren't there. Do you know what the fall of good, the full gospel was? They started bringing in the ministers to speak. God never called it or ordained it. You got to follow the plan of God. See, God called that an ordinary businessman would get up before other people and tell how God used him in his life. Now we're not talking about businessmen. My guy's a carpenter. That's his business. He's a carpenter. They'd stand up and tell. See, I loved it because when I got in among these guys, the thing that I loved is these guys were from farmers to electricians to carpenters and different things. And I got among these guys and they loved the Lord. There was no pretense about them. They weren't looking for checks. They just loved God. They would just do what God said. These men, their business and their whole life, their life with God was right in their businesses and what they did from day to day. They didn't have a business life and a God life over here. And that's the way, they just loved God and they would get together and it was amazing how God moved. And I remember how exciting that was to me because I could look at it, man, God just uses these guys. These guys, God, you know, they just love God and God shows up. But we've lost that in the church world. We've lost that. There's not going to be a big move of God in these last days without the laity. There ain't going to be one. There's not going to be a move of God without the laity. There's not. Look, you touch in and you touch people that nobody, no minister in life is going to ever touch. I mean, they're not going to go on our church site and listen to Ed preach. They're not. You're going to run in and be around people. We run into things and stuff as people that you'd never run into, but you are. But I'm going to tell you, God will anoint you. You can have manifestations of the Holy Ghost just as much as any minister would have. I have never had more gifts or manifestation in the church than I do outside the church. I have always had more manifestation outside than inside. And you know what? That's biblical. Look at the book of Acts. The manifestations of God weren't in a building somewhere where the church was just hanging out. It was out there among people. Hallelujah. Out there among people. Glory to God. You know, when they turn around and pick the guys that they wanted to wait on tables. You know what waiting on tables? They were distributing food to the widows and stuff of the church. You had to be full of the Holy Ghost to do it. Not today. We look for the guy who ain't, well, we can give this to somebody over here. And that's today you couldn't even get the pastor of the church to even be qualified for it. Ain't full of the Holy Ghost. You couldn't even qualify to hand out food in the Old Testament church. He'd have been put in the back seat of the church. It's good preaching. Hallelujah. But you know, I've seen that all the time in church. I've seen more spirituality many times among laity than I've seen among people, you know, in the ministry, standing in the ministry. And what we need is spirituality. We need people who know the Spirit. I want you to get to the point, though, of seeing yourself in a place of ministry. Don't get into the criticism, well, maybe I don't know how to do this. I don't get over it. First of all, you get yourself talking about right about yourself, seeing yourself correctly of what the Scripture says about you. You know, you can fall in the routine of what men want, or you can just follow God. You have the Holy Spirit in you. What would be the point of you having the Holy Spirit in you if I'm just a revealer of God? What's the point? Man, you got the same Holy Ghost I do. It has to be my desire. See, when the Lord taught me, I've said this before, and you need to get it correct about what I'm saying. This is nothing big-headed. When I did at the time when we started the church, the Lord said, I want you to teach people. When we first started meeting together, and I'll never forget us driving over to, we started meeting at that time. We just began to meet on Birch Road there, and I was driving over to church one morning, and the Spirit of the Lord said, I want you to teach people so they can know me like you do. See, what's the point of you knowing at that time? Thank God I know more now. I look back then and I thought, what was he talking about? I'm lucky I could find my way to church. But what would he tell me that for? What do you need to know anything for if God's just going to use me? What are we teaching and preaching? What are we doing? See, we need to get this stuff clear back in the church again. Churches don't like, many ministers do not like God using the laity. They don't like it. I'm going to tell you what, I could sit here and tell you stories about big name ministers that take in hundreds of millions of dollars a year that don't like the move of God among people other than them. I can sit and tell you in ministries and things that are going on where they'll shut down. Nobody's allowed to move but them and the church. They're the only ones who are allowed to have God operate through them. Even people on their own staff aren't allowed to. People on their own staff, that they turn around, yeah, this person's this and that, but they won't allow. No, I'm the only one God can move through. I'm the only one He's allowed. No wonder we're hurting. No wonder the body of Christ hurts. God has to be able to have a voice. God has to be able to move. And people have to put away their pride or whatever else they think they got. Hallelujah. I had an associate minister, very large church, say to me and tell me this personally, that the head minister will not allow any of the associate ministers to operate in gifts of the Spirit, wouldn't let them allow, this is years ago, would not let them, allow them to operate in any gifts of the Spirit. They could stand up and teach or preach, but they weren't allowed to operate. It was only through him. He was Mr. Big Head. I mean, when you have things like that going on, and these are the people think are wonderful and following after. They think are just these guys get big names. People talk about, doesn't mean that, you know what? It's amazing to me the revelation those guys get despite of their ignorance and despite, but that revelation's not for them, it's for the people. See, it's like my gift is for you. My gift is to bring revelation to you. And they don't know that. They think they got revelation because they're smart. They don't realize their stupidity. There's some of those men that are going to stand one day and Jesus is going to go say, go away, I don't even know you. And they're going to say, but look what all I did. He's going to say, go away, I don't even know you. See, I don't want to get in that crowd. I don't want to be in that bunch. Hallelujah. Praise God. He does it. God's moving for people. So, hallelujah. I want you to turn to Ephesians. I'm going to read you some scriptures here in Ephesians that I'm sure that, I know that you've read over before. We've talked before about these things in other teachings and things, but we want to look specifically. The Holy Spirit was really moving on me concerning these scriptures that we're going to look at today. In Ephesians, the third chapter, now mostly when we go here lots of times, we look at the prayer that's in that chapter, but I want you to see something here. It's a wonderful piece of revelation to you as a believer, and I want you to get this fact. We're talking and teaching on the subject of kingdom authority, and this is about authority. You need to understand this about authority and your understanding of authority, how important it is. Your understanding of your position, what you're in, the position that you're in. It is not for somebody else. It's not for me as a minister to have all kind of great revelation. What good is it if you can't have it? It's of no value. You know, it's no good for, you know, today we have too many times of people, just the brilliant person over here, and they bring something out, and after a while, you know, everybody just sort of follows after the brilliance, and I don't care if it's from secular to whatever it is. People follow after it, and they don't see themselves. There's one thing that I've learned about learning things over time, no matter. It's good to have information on things anyhow. In our society, for just one person or one group of people to have all the genius in an area and nobody else really understands it, that's a terrible thing. This is the fault of American government, whether it's, I don't care if it's Democrats or Republicans. They hide a lot. They hide a lot of things that neither both sides do that they don't say. They don't let the people know. They hide a lot of things. They keep things. Why? Because, you know, you can't be trusted with it. But you're supposed to trust them with your money when they send things. I'm already sick of them, man, and her dear God, everybody's brother. I mean, if people are out here running for an office out in Montana and you have to send me money, look, if the people out there don't get behind you, I ain't sending dollars. Forget it. Oh, well, what if we don't take the Congress back? I saw what the last time you did with it when you took it back. I saw that, folks. I am not interested in what you say. I am only interested in what you do. And my money follows your doing. Ain't been good. Money no longer follows saying. I don't care what a man says. Let me see it. Which one's the show me state? Missouri, the show me state. My God. Well, somebody, I'm going to join the show me state. I'm tired of the talk. I don't want to hear another debate. Have no interest in a debate. I want to see what you've been standing for, not what you've been talking about. There's one thing that I have in my life is my God has a proven track record with me. He's a proven track record. He's just not words on a page. He's a real God. Hallelujah. Glory. In Ephesians, I want to start reading. In Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 8 says, then this is Apostle Paul. If we read from the beginning, Paul's talking about himself as a minister, and what he's doing. Now he says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So he had a gift. Part of what his gift, he was supposed to preach something. So see, he's bringing the knowledge of God to the Gentile, the lost. That was one of his things. See, he's bringing it to, why? So they can hear it and learn it. They want to get that revelation. He's not hiding a revelation. I'm so smart. Now he says he's bringing. And now listen what he goes on to say. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That word fellowship would be better translated stewardship. It's the stewardship. He said that all may see what is the stewardship of the mystery. Now the stewardship, in other words, Paul's saying, I am a steward of a mystery. God has made me a steward. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. If you are given the mystery, then you're a steward of it. You need to understand, this is a hugely important thing. See, we're stewards of a mystery. What we do with it, if we're not going to do anything with it, you're not a steward of the mystery. It's what do we do with this? Stewarded it. He said, I'm preaching because why? I'm a steward of this ministry. In other words, I have an obligation how this is handed out, how this is done as a steward. I'm obligated under that. Hallelujah. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. So God's given you revelation. It's one of the things that you guys have heard me say many times when I asked the Lord when I was a young Christian, why do you give me so much revelation? He said, because when I give you things, you give it out to people. See, a lot of people, they don't ever get much revelation. They have no need of it. They never steward it. There's no need of what you ain't going to. What do you need? You know, we have today so many people in our society, all they are accumulators of information. That's all they ever do. They don't ever do a thing with it. Just accumulate. Take tests and people say, they've been really good and they're smart. But you know what? They ain't ever done nothing. They don't ever do anything. Hallelujah. But he says, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the steward of this ministry, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm reading from the New King James translation. King James, I know, and sometimes other translations use the word world there instead of ages. But I want you to understand this because this is important in where our teaching is coming from, what God wants to bring to us. Because really, that word in Greek is the word aeon, which that word talks, and here he uses the term, we need to understand ages, it's plural. It's ages. Ages deals with this is the fact, and really it's correctly translated ages. Ages is dealing with a time period. So understand this, we do this many times, we use the word age, like we talk about, you know, some people say the New Testament age, the Old Testament, but we use, in the natural, we use that. We talk about the age of the dinosaurs, we talk about, we infer that certain things were in certain ages. We talk about the industrial age of America. This is a certain time period where certain events took place dealing with industry and time and things that took place that really set a course for America. We use the term ages. The Bible constantly uses this terminology, and it's filled with it in the New Testament. We want to understand this. God, here it says, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden. This ministry has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. This mystery has been hidden for the ages. We know there's more than one. We have what we refer to as ages. We look at the fact that when God created man in the earth, when man sinned, we have an age that we're feeling that we're living in today is the age where Satan was given authority by Adam, and we're living there. Today we call what the church age. We have come into a part now which is called a church age. We're dealing with ages of time. We're also dealing, if I don't know how many of you have listened to my teaching that I did. It's been a while back. I did teaching on the areas about the pre-Adamic creation. Before the creation as we know, there was a creation. The Bible deals with it. It doesn't tell a lot about it, but we know that something existed before that time period. That's where Satan fell to. And we look back into those things. So there was ages. He is dealing with ages. How many ages there were, we don't know. We don't have all information. But we know this. There was a mystery by God that was hidden. Mystery. The mystery is this, is we're finding out because Paul, he's a preacher of the gospel. He's a preacher of this gospel. This gospel was hidden away that men couldn't, that people couldn't see it. Even on the time, people, we go into the Old Testament. You know, the only reason that you can look in the Old Testament, you see its types and shadows of whatever they might be. The only reason you can see them because of revelation of the New Testament. If you didn't see what was in the New, you'd look back there, it'd be as dark to you as it was to them. But see, we're walking in a much more brilliant light. We're in a place of much, much more, but we're walking in the days of the revelation of the mystery that was hidden. All of these ages was hidden, but it's not anymore. It was hidden. And this is, what was it, why was it hidden all those ages? Well, we find out. Verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, the manifold, the word manifold there, it would be talking about many facets. It also, if that word was used, you could talk like, say, a spectrum of light with the being revealed of all the colors that are in it. In other words, there's the manifold wisdom, this wisdom of God. God's wisdom isn't, you know, so many people, God's wisdom, this is why they think it's, well, getting born again. That was the wisdom, that was the Paul. When Paul preached the gospel, we know that Paul preached other because Paul preached healing. We know in the book of Acts, he was preaching and a guy had faith to be healed. It said he had, well, how could he have gotten faith to be healed if Paul only preached getting born again? He had to hear faith for healing. Paul was preaching healing. And it said he had faith to be healed. So see, nobody gets faith on anything that ain't preached. It must be preached. You just don't all of a sudden arrive at faith one day at God's Word. It must be preached, and that's why we have to preach, and preaching the Word and making sure. So, this mystery, he said to the intent, God did that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. He didn't say here to the church, he said by the church. See, this is the mystery. This mystery is for the church. But what is the purpose of it for the church? By the church to the principality and powers in the heavenly places. Now, he's not talking about heaven where God is. God's the guy that had the mystery. He's the one that knew the mystery. The prince is talking about the demonic powers that are operating in our age. The words there, principalities, that word would, it would be better, we would understand, just rulers. Rulers and powers, actually that word is exousia, which is the word for authority. It's not powers, you're not talking about power. You're talking about authority. You see, there's rulers and authorities in the heavenly places that oversee. In the earth here, we need to understand, we have demons here in the earth around that operate, but we have rulers above the earth who dominate the ones. See, they have hierarchy just like heaven has hierarchy. It's no difference. You know, like God sends angels. He sends angels out to do things. He sends things. See, there's a higher power. He sends them out to do things. God don't get off his throne and walk down here and go do it. You see, in the same manner. So what it is, this is it. Why was this revelation given? Do you realize, I want you to understand this. Satan understands no more about the authority of the church than you demonstrate. I'm going to prove it to you by scripture. See, we've made the devil God. We think he's so smart. The devil don't know the mystery. The only thing the devil knows about the mystery, understands the authority that you have, is by what you demonstrate. If you don't demonstrate any, he don't know it, and he don't pay no attention to you. Do you realize that's what he's saying here? See, we need to get this revelation. Do you see what he said? What is this? He said, I did it. This is the mystery. He said, to this intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principality, to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. The devil only gets anything, a sight of the revelation that God has revealed in this mystery to the church when the church walks in its place of authority. We are demonstrating to the principalities and powers who's in charge. We are. God don't do it. We do it. We are the ones revealing the mystery in the earth. Why? Because man was given authority in the earth. Do you understand that? We're the ones here to demonstrate that authority. We're here. We have the gospel preached to us. We have teachers and ministers given to us to reveal to us the place we stand. And then we take that authority and we go show it to the devil. Say, okay, devil, I'm the new gun in town. Hallelujah. You ain't going any further today. This is it. You see, heaven has no place to back up its power if you have done nothing. See, when we demonstrate our place of authority, then God backs us with His power. We need to understand how this thing operates, how it works. We demonstrate. See, we need to understand the ignorance of our enemy. He don't know near what people think he does. He had no idea about these things. Now listen to what it says. Verse 11. This was done according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Now you see this? This was God's eternal purpose to do it this way. This was God's purpose to reveal the mystery to you, and that you would demonstrate it before Satan, and he would see through the church what all this authority was that God has given. This mystery is revealed through the church. But how is it revealed? In whom we have boldness and accents. People say, oh, we have boldness and accents. Confidence. How? Through faith. You got to walk in faith. You got to walk in faith. See, if you're waiting to see something happen, and then you're going to trust God. That ain't how it works. You act it out. You act like the mystery that's been given to you is true. See, this was faith. This. You don't need faith if you see it happen. You don't need. We have faith. You and I demonstrate. Oh, this must make the devil terrible mad. You and I walking around like we have authority when it don't seem like we have nothing at all. And we're walking around, and you know, it says he runs around as a roaring lion. And we're walking around acting like, you know, we don't even have to worry about him. You talk about making him mad. The worst thing that makes him mad is the fact when he comes along and throws all his stuff, and it's like Jerry Smith, just keep smiling, don't let him see you sweat. And that guy gets upset. Why? He is seeing something, and it bugs him. This guy ought to be scared of me. He ought to be worried about me. And we walk down here by faith and the power of God shows up. And then he gets a revelation. When that guy starts smiling, just step back a little bit. Don't get so close to it. He's smiling down there. Something's going on. See, we're the revealers of the mystery. We live it out in this earth. We walk, we speak it out. We act it out. That's what we do. And look, the devil doesn't know. This is manifested to him through us. It's not something he knows. He ain't sitting and reading the Bible, because we're going to find this out as we read. We're going to go on over to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, and we're going to find out about revelation. We're going to find out about how it comes and why. And we need to understand, because of walking and living in the revelation that's given to us. God is phenomenal in his confidence concerning the church. Could you imagine having this revelation that was hidden? Nobody knew it. See, the devil, he didn't know about this. This is one thing, is you find the stupidity of Satan. The fact that he rose up and there was a mystery that had existed before he ever did. There was nothing brilliant about him. There was nothing brilliant about him. Man, you're brilliant. You accepted Christ. There was no brilliance about him. Here there was already set in motion a plan for his demise, and he rode up and jumped in that thing. Both feet into it. And he didn't know there was a wisdom. He thought he knew. He thought he could replace God. And God already had a plan to deal with him. He didn't know. The mystery was hidden. Nobody knew it. It was only God. I'm sure, when we talk about God, we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. There was a mystery that wasn't revealed. But think about this. As soon as God reveals this mystery and people get born again, the first thing he does is this mystery that was hidden all this time, he throws it right out to the people who joined up with him. This is your mystery. You need to understand, nobody knows this mystery unless we reveal it. That's why God made preachers. This mystery, God doesn't reveal this mystery without the church. The mysteries of God that are revealed in their glory and power in the earth are by the church. Now we're going to find this, because we want to look here, these scriptures in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Wonderful. You know, I hope it helped you see some things. You know, I'm sure you might have seen some things and got some revelation that maybe I wouldn't even preaching out of that. But I hope you see the place of God and what he's doing. God has set in motion a most powerful thing. And the fact is, like, don't get scared about, well, God gave us this, man, what am I doing? Don't go to that. Start to see what he's giving you. What he's revealing a mystery to you. This is why you want revelation. Because I'm going to tell you what, we don't know all about the mystery yet. That's why we keep studying the Bible, to find out more of these things. But I thank God the revelation we got. Hallelujah. It's been good. And it'll get gooder too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 6 says this: however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. King James says perfect, which it's not meant from the standpoint, I mean, you could use the word perfect, but it more demonstrates the idea of mature. In other words, their mystery, I want to show you why as we go on through this. It's through people who are mature as a Christian. In other words, people who are developing. This mystery doesn't, did you ever know that baby Christians don't do well with the mystery? They don't. And we need to understand that. People, this is one of the reasons why you want to develop, because this mystery is so incredible. It's not something to be played and toyed around with. This mystery, and this is why it's growing, is such an important thing. But Paul makes a statement that he was speaking to ministers, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this, and you'll see age again. See, there's an age. Now, King James again calls it the world, but it's really the age. Right now, we're in a wisdom of an age. Do we see this? Look at the wisdom of our age. You watch the news media and all the things going on in our country and around the world. That's the wisdom of the age. See, this is what's operating. Now, you look out there. That's why you need to be careful. What's your wisdom in this age? What is your wisdom? What are you following, the mystery of God, or is your wisdom what the world's all doing out here and the crazy stuff they're doing? Is that the thing we're sitting at? See, that's the wisdom of the age. I look out there and them and understand this. You need to get a hold of this. Do you know why people today, you know, talk about people don't have common sense? Well, see, common sense ain't nothing common about it. It don't just happen. It never has. People are taught it. It's because before at one time, the mysteries of God were taught plainly, moral conduct and those things. Mysteries. They're mysteries to the world. The world knows nothing of moral conduct. Look how they act out here. You can be any old perverted thing you want to be. Well, that's their common sense. That's what they're taught. They go to school. We pay them the tax dollars and send our kids to school, turn them into perverts. And the parents complain, but the parents don't stand up and make sure their kids are taught right. See, I taught my kids right. When they went and heard pervert stuff, they come home and said, man, they're crazy. They didn't join it. If you ain't a preacher in your house, you're part of the problem. See, you don't live like hell and come to my house, you'll be uncomfortable. And I'll make you uncomfortable. Don't mind at all. And I'll plainly speak some mysteries. But see, we preach the truth. Why? The truth sets men free. See, we gotta be preachers. We can't, you know, there's one thing is when I was growing up, I mean, just as a young Christian, my kids began to see God move through me and they knew it was. You know, as I tell the story, Melissa said about, told Elena about, you know, whenever dad asks you, you always tell him the truth, because if you don't, God will tell him. There was a fear of God. There was a fear that their dad knew God. The average Christian, the kid living in a Christian home today, they don't have no fear that their parents know a thing. We've lost that. We've lost that. We should not lose that. See, this is why, one of the things, see, I had manifestations of the Spirit. God would tell me things. And I had no stuff. Why? Gifts would operate. I'm the minister of the house. I'm the minister of the house. You see, we have to come back to these things. We've left. You know, I grew up in a family. There was a minister in the house. And he was the head of that house. And him and mama did good from the standpoint keeping order in the house. You know, I never did grow up, in all my heathenism, I never grew up thinking there wasn't no God. I never grew up with the idea that I was not going to be answerable to something one day. And you know what? As a kid growing up, I had a fear of respect to my parents. I grew up believing in judgment. But you know what? Didn't hurt me a lick. I thank God for people that didn't play this stupid Christianity we got today in this stuff. With rock and roll Christianity, you know, with all the junk out here going on and we're just playing like the world. Man, I tell you, we're closing down on an age. It's closing down. We need to get ourselves, hallelujah, getting ourselves ready. That's what we're doing. To mature people, the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. The rulers of this age, these ones that brother before was translated principalities, but they're not. They're rulers of this age. They are coming to nothing. I want you to get a view of the devil. He's coming to nothing. See, we have today, you know, boy, the devil's really, he's doing this and he's doing that. He's coming to nothing. The scripture says so. He is coming to nothing. He's the roaring lion. But I done met the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the real lion, and it ain't the devil. Jesus just ain't roaring. Hallelujah. He's got the power to back it up. He has all authority in heaven and earth. The devil don't. The devil is coming to nothing. Your foe. You're the people with the mystery. And he's coming to nothing. Hallelujah. This is the Bible. So you need to get this revelation. Get it in you. He's coming to nothing. You understand the mystery. Hallelujah. You're the one with the wisdom of God. There was a hidden wisdom. And just say, God hid this wisdom. How would we look back on time? If we could go to time, what would be trillions of years? Or what would we do? Or whatever? What would we do in time? And just think, that was hidden through the eons of ages for you and me to get to understand. Just for our time, for you and me to know. Woo! See, what does God think of you? See, it'd be good if you got thinking of you like God thinks of you better than what you think of you. What does God think? That God would hand a mystery that was hidden for this, you know, however long it was. Now, listen, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's a mystery that we're speaking. This is a mystery. This wisdom's a mystery. He said, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Did he say that he did it for his glory? Oh, the church reads it that way. Oh, it's for his glory. No, it wasn't. Well, we don't want to take any glory. Well, he done gave me some. This mystery is about the glorious church. This mystery is about the glory in the church. This mystery, look, if you walk in the wisdom of this glory, God will be glorified. Hallelujah. But this glory has been handed to us. This mystery's glory. And you and I are the carriers of glory. In the earth, the church is the carrier of glory. You and I. We're the church of Jesus Christ. The carriers of glory. Hallelujah. This is a good revelation, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. Look at this. Now he says, which none of the rulers of this age knew. See, this age that we live where Satan has been able to rule and do his little things, he never knew the mystery. All the ages have passed. It's always been hidden from him. He didn't know it. He didn't know after 4,000 years God was going to release a mystery mystery into the earth. It was through his son Jesus Christ. And cause, listen what it says. Look what it says. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you see that? See, when you put that in there to see how God and this hidden thing and what he made the church makes devil look pretty stupid, don't it? See, you better get over on that thing and understand the devil, he ain't bright. The church is bright. The church knows the mystery. Hallelujah. And we're the ones that show him what the mystery is. We get to shove it in his face. We get to live it every day in his face. Hallelujah. Oh, that's why the devil hates the church. He hates the church because the church has the glory and he don't, and he can't have it. He can't get it because he can't get the mystery. And we're going to show that. Listen. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And did you ever have a person just pull those scriptures out? Well, we just don't know. That's what they used to do when I was a kid in church. You poor stupid morons. You know, we don't know nothing. You see that? They never read the next verse because it didn't fit their theology. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. How we know these things? In other words, God has revealed. He didn't say God is going to. He said he has revealed them to us through the Spirit. Now, we need to understand this. See, we're living, we have stepped into the age or the time period within the church age of the end that Smith Wigglesworth and others had talked about in the last day move of God, that the church was going to step into this place of the Word and the Spirit. They're going to, that revival of the move of the Word and the Spirit. You see, we go back to things when the Holy Spirit was poured out here in the United States back in the early 1900s. They got over. They were ignorant on a lot of things of the Word. I know, listening to Kenneth Hagin's teachings over the years, the things that were being taught by the Spirit-filled people in his day, when he started off, to when he would, Jesus would appear to him and Jesus would tell him things about the Bible, and he'd say, "Well, Lord, I've never seen anything in the Bible like that. I never heard anything like that. We don't teach that. Where do you get that from?" See, they didn't have revelation. They learned things about the Spirit, but didn't know a whole lot about the Word. And see, like when Kenneth Hagin came along, God started bringing revelation of the Word. Those things come in. Because see, people walked into things and the gifts of the Spirit and many manifestations, but people didn't know how to walk in the Word. They didn't know how to do it. They didn't know how to walk by faith. They weren't taught in those areas. So we had those, and now we're come to the place, and we need to understand, see, where the church gets off base. See, the things of the Spirit, the wells of the Spirit in the past concerning the Spirit, those people knew things about the Spirit that today, most of these main big ministers ain't got a clue about how those people knew about what things they could get manifestations of the Spirit. These people love to have today that I want to see it happening today. I want to see them in manifestation. They knew things of the Spirit. We got to drink of their well. We got to be Word people and left the Spirit out. See, we can just do the Word, just do the Word, just, no, you need them both. You need the Word and the Spirit. All the two together. There's nothing better, more refreshing, more delightful than the Word and the Spirit. And this is what I'm talking about this morning, is right here, because see, God's bringing together the move of the Spirit and the Word, where you're led by the Spirit. Jesus one time, and I remember how it really grabbed me when I heard Kenneth Hagin years ago say this. Jesus spoke to him about concerning the Word. Jesus said about the Holy Spirit talking to you. He said, "I'm going to hold you as accountable." And you and mankind in general, it's Christians in general. I'm going to hold you as accountable for what my Spirit tells you as to what's written in the book. You're going to be as accountable. See, if people aren't listening to the Spirit, they're going to find themselves accountable to stuff. And then, well, I didn't know that. Well, you should have listened. See, there's more than just the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of God. You can't even know the Word without the Holy Spirit. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know much about the Word. Because you'll figure most things out mentally, and most things that you'll accept is just because somebody else said it. You need to know by the Spirit yourself. With me, I learned this, is you got to be able to listen to the Spirit. Yesterday, you know, there's a lot of things that I sort of wanted to think about and go over too, but the Spirit kept prompting me over here to this message today. See, more important to Him than anything else. This was the important thing, this message. So I just decided, I better follow the Spirit. What do you think? I thought it was a good idea. We better get over here with what the Spirit's saying. Hallelujah. Eye hasn't seen, ears hasn't heard, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now just think of that. Is the Spirit, the things that we know is by the Spirit, and the Spirit is searching the deep things of God. In other words, God's not hiding things from us. There's mystery. The deep things of God, the Spirit searches out. Why? Because He wants to get smart. It's for us. He says, now listen to this. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? See, that's your own spirit. See, you should know your own self spiritually. How many times you heard me say that? You need to learn to know yourself spiritually. Why? If you don't know what you are on the inside, if you don't know what you are spiritually, you don't know you. You that said the spirit of man knows the things of a man. My own spirit, it knows me. But now listen to what he goes on to say here. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. You don't know anything. Nobody knows anything about God unless the Holy Spirit has revealed it. Nobody. You need to understand that. See, this is where the church, when we get the Word, this is why people say, well, I don't know, and I told this person this, and I told them that, and I don't say, they just don't get it. Don't be surprised that a sinner sit there and he ain't get it. The Holy Spirit isn't revealing. The Holy Spirit reveals one thing to a sinner, their need for a Savior. It's what He does. He convicts the world of sin, their need. You got a problem in your life that's sending you off to judgment. God wants to save you. That's what the Holy Spirit does to the sinner. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is not revealing the mystery. to the sinner. Do you know how the men, do you know how the men's ministry gets known? By us preaching it! If we preach it, the Holy Spirit will reveal it. That's why it says, how can people be saved unless he sends a preacher? The Holy Spirit can't even convict the sinner without a preacher. You can pray for people night and day, but if nobody ever preaches to them, who cares? Pray, 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 pray. This is the praying church. Look, I believe in the praying part. But we've done too much of praying part instead of going part. We've been all on the praying part. Pray, 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 pray. Pray for this, pray for that, pray for the other thing. We need preachers. People, go preach to people and tell people. That's what you do. The Holy Spirit then can work. When you start revealing mysteries, the Holy Spirit can begin to work in a person. Now in the church, it's like I'm doing this morning. I'm teaching here. As if I wouldn't stand here and teach, the Holy Spirit can't reveal to you unless I stand here and do this. This is how it works. It isn't by osmosis. It doesn't all of a sudden one day I get a great... I'll tell you this, how I can tell you how revelation comes to me every time. Every time! God will give me a scripture of this or scripture of that, and I'll go to the scriptures and start looking at what the scripture says, and all of a sudden I start getting revelation. See, if scriptures don't come, revelation don't come. That's how it starts. It always starts. God will remind me. Yesterday, the Lord just reminded me of some scriptures. He kept reminding me of different things in scripture. So I going over, looking at those things in scripture, and then He started revealing to me what specifically He wanted me to teach today. Specifically what He wanted. But He all did it, carried it out all through scripture. Things that I knew, stuff that had already been revealed to me, that I knew, then He could show me something else. And that's the way He does it. When we preach, this is why we need to tell people. People need to hear so the Holy Spirit can bring revelation. The Holy Spirit, see, you need to understand, God didn't send the Holy Spirit in the earth. He sent Him to you. The sinner does not have the Holy Spirit in him. He don't have the revealer of the mystery in him. The Holy Spirit ain't revealing the mystery to him because he don't have the Holy Spirit, the one, the mystery revealer in him. He ain't got it. See, if the church doesn't understand the importance in our part, oh my God, God has put us in a glorious position that God would trust the church with His glory. And it's being revealed in the earth. It's phenomenal. It's a phenomenal thing. It's like, man, you'd think he'd have came up with a better idea than Ed. But this is God. See, He has much more confidence in the church than the church has in the church. But see, there must be confidence come back to the church. It must be preached again in the church. Who the church really is. The church ain't a wallet. It ain't a wallet. Revivals don't come from money. Revivals come by glory being revealed. Revivals, and you go to any revivals, I've studied revivals of the past, and the revivalists would always say this, revivals are preached. Now, you might need some money to get to the place to preach, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not against money. But I'm against the idea of what we talk about today and money in the church world. It's too far off base. Money has become the big thing. And it's wrong and it's the devil. People are deceived. We're told you just give money, oh, then God will give you money. And if you ain't working, it ain't happening. I know enough about the scripture. God blesses the labor of your hand. We read about the guy who works will increase. You can go send your checks to preacher and he can tell you everything he wants to. But if you, I would just tell him plain, if you ain't working, just forget it. Keep in your pocket, you're going to need it. You're going to need it for lunch because I ain't buying you lunch. You ain't working, that's it. That was a good word, wasn't it? You work. God will increase you. God will increase you. See, I tell you what. I believe on starting off, I believe working is more important than the giving to start off with. I believe it is. Setting yourself to work. Be obedient and work. God will bless you just because you work. See, I believe the giving's just the over above thing. That's the thing when you come in too, and that's the over above, and you give it. We want to do those things. But I tell you, getting people started in the kingdom, it isn't just getting their hand into a pocket. It's getting people to walk in the principles of doing what's right, taking care of yourself. You know, men being ahead, taking care of families, men taking care of their families and, you know, doing those things. Those are much more important than all this other stuff we're talking about. We taught all these things on money and the families went to hell. I'm going to tell you, I'd rather have a great family than money. Anytime. Ain't nothing worse than a lousy family living among them. Ain't nothing worse. You take any parent going through bedtime, man, I tell you, nothing harder on parents. Man, to have a little heaven in the house is sure a nice thing. See, if you wanted to ask me what I'd really want out of life, money would not be at the top of the list. Because you know what? If I got the rest of it, I'd get money. That ain't no problem. The money thing ain't the problem. Hallelujah. And just living a blessed life. Now, even so, no one knows. Verse 11, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, listen, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Or that word there again is age. The spirit of the age. See, the spirit of the age is this demonic thing that's been running this mess that we're looking out here at today. All this stuff falling apart. See, that's why we need to be careful in our looking and gazing out there. Because we lose the perspective of who we are. We lose the perspective of the glory that's in us. See, you know, this morning I woke up and didn't feel so glorious. But you knew I need to get up this morning and walk by faith in the glory that's in me. If I want to manifest glory here today, I got to walk when I don't feel like I'm glorious, like I have the glory. See, it's like down here today. Thank God you're going to anoint me. I didn't feel no anointing. But you're going to anoint me. See, you got to walk by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is going to do that. He's going to operate. I can't see the anointing. I don't feel the anointing. Had no goosebumps whatsoever. But hallelujah. God will anoint me because I'm going to reveal mysteries. The mysteries that have been hidden. Hallelujah. We're going to reveal them. Is God going to hold back on revealing His mysteries? Yeah. Maybe He won't anoint today. He'll just let the word go flat. No, 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 no. See, we don't get moved. See, we walk by this faith thing. And this faith thing's, it don't look like it's working at all. Everything's going the opposite direction. Everything seems to be going down the toilet. Hallelujah. See, that's why I just have a hard time looking at things that they say that are going on. It's because it'll just get you overwhelmed. You know what? I can't win the war in Ukraine. We can pray and we can stand with God and things, but see, you got to maintain a walk by faith. See, I can't get off the vision God put within me and the call He's put within me and begin to chase after whatever problems are in the world that I think they need solved. I know this, if I fulfill my part, it'll be a big help to people. And there's people that have other parts. And let them play their parts. But I ain't going to watch it all the time. I can't be moved. If you're moved just by disaster, you're going to be a disaster. I'm just telling you. If you're moved by disaster, you will be a disaster. Hallelujah. Now, we have received not the spirit of this age, but the spirit who is from God, the one who seeks all the deep things of God, the one who is looking at all the deep stuff. This is the spirit you got. This is the one you have. You're not going to get Him. You have Him. He's living in you. That's the one thing. Why? That you might know the things that God, that have been freely given to us by God. And what is that? What's in the mystery? Those things have been freely given to you. You don't have to earn them. You don't have to earn the wisdom. If I become real good, then God will show me things. They're freely given, already given. The mysteries are already given. This mystery that was hidden, and this mystery is revealed to the church and through the church, and that's the only group. It's not given to the world. It's not given to some other group. It hasn't even been given to angels. The Bible tells us that angels look into the earth, and they went, wow, look at man. What is man that God does all this stuff? What is his character? See, it's hard for us to understand what our position is. Religion puts the blindfolds on, and religion puts the man on the bottom of the totem pole. And God set man right beside Jesus at the throne. Oh, my God. How glorious. Then the revelation, this revelation, a mystery that was hidden, the mystery that's changing everything, that is going to bring to the day and time will come with a new heaven and new earth, where sin is put away forever and never will again affect in the spirit of the natural realm. And there will be nothing but glory. And this mystery, it's ours. It's what was given to us. It was for us to see. You know, I've gone in this thing, and you know, I almost feel like I just got saved again. I don't know. Because God's been revealing the thing. And you know, I stop, and I can say this truthfully. I'm looking at things and thinking, you know, there's so much we didn't know. There's so much we didn't see. About the end times, oh, I said, Lord, I can see. There's things God's been showing me. We've been ignorant about it. There's some of these things, the mysteries of the day that we're in right now, God wants to reveal to the church. Because the church, look, it's only the church can see it. And whether we understand this, many times mysteries are revealed in time, in the time when they're needed to be revealed. And we need to get ourselves over, especially the coming of Jesus Christ. The church world is up in the air about the whole thing. From he's going to come back any time to we don't know exactly, and to where I've heard one say, well, it could be 100 years. He could come back. They say it could be, well, if it could be 100 years, well, let's. But there, this is one thing I haven't found. There's no consensus of anything. And the ones who believe, when you sit down and listen to this, ones who believe, they say he's just soon coming back. But you know, when you sit down, is why do they believe it? Look, I've watched people, there's wonderful Christians over the years who believe wholehearted they were going to leave when Jesus, before they died, Jesus, and it didn't happen. I've had one say that God told them. And it didn't happen. I'm not criticizing them. But you know what? You can get into yourself. See, you can hear things taught so much that you think, and I'll tell you what, your own spirit will get over there and you got to watch it. We got to make sure, am I hearing from the Holy Ghost? You know, some things people shouldn't be saying unless God told them to say it. They shouldn't be saying it if God told them to. See, I've known people over time and I've seen people pass and I've watched them. You know, I'll tell you this. Now, Kenneth Hagin's later years, he never spoke much about it. But in his earlier years, when I first came along to hearing him teach, you would have taken from his teaching that he thought he was going to be, that Jesus is going to come while he was alive. And I noticed in his later years, he didn't speak about that stuff very much, never said anything. I think he started to see some things. I think there's been too much said that has been man talking. And it ain't been God. And see, we need to understand that. Because there needs to be, if God's doing something, we need to know it. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it's like me. When I first came into the kingdom and they were teaching about the return of Jesus Christ, they were teaching about end times, I said to the Lord, I went to him and I quit. Listen, I said, Lord, I'm not going to listen to anybody else teach. I said, these people are crazy. I said, I don't know much about the Word. And I didn't at that time. Kenneth Hagin was not an end-time teacher. But I would sit down and just read what Jesus said about things, and I really knew what he's talking about during the tribulation. I just knew it. And I would listen to Christians talk about all this stuff with the church, and they're putting it, and I'm thinking, this ain't talking about the church. Heck, and I hardly knew anything. And I thought, these people, they take part of what one thing's, whatever fits their doctrine. They would pull a scripture out of this or that where it didn't even fit. But they pulled out and they taught it. People swallow it. And I said, Lord, I ain't going to listen anymore to what people say. I said, I'm not listening to any more teachers about the end times. I said, I am just tired. I said, they're making quotes and statements. And I said, you can prove by scripture that what they're saying is not right. And I said, they're going insane. I said, and I thought about this. I don't know much and I know they're wrong, but we're in trouble. I said, Lord, I'm not listening to anybody anymore on the subject. And I said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, they got 20 different ways that you're coming back. He said, yeah. And he said, 19 of them are wrong. That's exactly what the Spirit of God said to me. Yeah, 19 of them are wrong. Well, there has to be. There can only be one right way. I don't think we're going to live in this confusion in this last day. not from the true church. I think God is revealing things. We will see things clearly. I think we will know the church. It's like when Ken Kosick was here with us. Ken said, you know, that we're not looking for the Antichrist. I am sick of hearing ministers talking about this stuff. And they need to shut up. The Antichrist, he ain't the one that's setting the marker for the church. Who the Antichrist is, I really don't give a rip. Hallelujah. There's one thing I know the Antichrist is this from a standpoint is probably pretty much born in the earth. I think he's probably here. I think he would be. But one thing about this, even before he comes to power, he's going to know who the church is. He's going to know who's who. And he's going to come and but when he does his thing, it don't matter to me when he does his thing. Adios amigos, I'll be gone. He can't come into church, come into the earth in operation till the church leaves because he cannot override the authority of the church. We're the people of the mystery. This is why when we leave, the church age ends. Salvation's not like it was anymore. This whole thing that people have this idea. No, it's not. The Holy Ghost ain't going to be living in people. The people that are here. It ain't going to be happening. The people will be believing. It'll be more like Old Testament. That's what it's going to be. I'm going to tell you. It ain't going to be easy. Yeah, they might believe Jesus is the Messiah, but that ain't going to make them born again. Because the Holy Spirit's leaving. That is living in the church. Let me ask you something. Was the Holy Spirit in the earth operating around before Jesus said he was going to be sent? You see, church never answers these questions. Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Well, most Christians talk about the Holy Spirit as if he's always here running around doing just his thing. Well, hold it. Couldn't be, as he said. Can't be. Can't be. See, we don't have enough teaching of the Bible. There's a lot of theories. There's a lot of theory about the Holy Spirit. You don't want to, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit's hardly mentioned. Hardly ever mentioned. I know it's only like one or two times in the Old Testament he's mentioned Holy Spirit. It's only ever mentioned. But see, we get doctrines and things that we preach and we do. And we need to understand the uniqueness of the church. And see, this is defined. When these stuff isn't taught clear, it distorts the uniqueness of the church. God, through Jesus Christ, sent the Holy Spirit to come and dwell believers. We're the only ones in the earth that He indwells. The only ones. He don't indwell anybody else. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of the mystery or brings revelation only to the church. He don't bring it to any other group. Only to the church. See, this is one of the things of the persecution of the church. It's always been like this because the church is this unique group. They can't be like any other religion. They can't join other religions because we're the only group that God lives in. And there is no other way to heaven. And if you believe any differently than that, you're not a Christian. And you don't have the Spirit of God because He would never teach you such a thing. The Holy Spirit will only magnify Jesus. He will never magnify another religion. He cannot do that. He is the revealer of the mystery of God to you and me. We are the ones who preach the mystery. We preach it to people. Is in the church wise? Teachers are for the church. They're not for the world. They're for the church. The teacher is not for the world. He is for the church. It is for the church. By the Holy Spirit teaches revelation and brings revelation because revelation is for you. It is for you. The mystery is for you. We can carry the ministry. We can minister in things. We can tell people. We want to bring people to Christ. And then we want to reveal the mystery. That's what we want to do. Those people that come into the kingdom, we want to get people into the kingdom. So why? Then the Spirit of God lives in them, and He will bear witness with the mystery as we minister it to them and tell them. But we're the carriers. We're the church. We're the ones. See, you can around other Christians, especially other believers. People call themselves believers. You can find out in a hurry whether a person's a believer when you try to give them, you know, loads of people don't want no revelation. They call themselves Christians, but the last thing they want is a revelation. They ain't got the Holy Ghost in them. You tell them anything from the basics of Christ. I remember two ladies I worked with at Reese Candy Company. They used to tell they're Christians. Yeah, they're Christians, these two ladies. Well, I was around them a lot, and, you know, they weren't terrible, sinful people, but I always just questioned whether they were really Christians until one day I got talking to Jesus about Jesus around them, and they got ugly. You know, they didn't like this Jesus thing, you know. They're Christians. And I see, I would say, why are you Christian? I believe in God. I said, what does that mean? I said, the Buddhist and the Hindu all believe in God. They don't mean nothing. But we're Christians. And they went to churches. And they were Christians. But they didn't like the Jesus thing. See, don't be surprised people don't like the Jesus. People are unsaved. They ain't keen on the Jesus. I wasn't keen on the Jesus thing. Till I finally came to the place and understood the gospel that I was going to hell without the Jesus thing. If I didn't get the Jesus thing. Should I tell you how dangerous this thing is with this seeker-friendly church? There's a big church, huge church. Largest church out in the Tulsa area. It's the biggest churches out there. The minister, our church, he was very, following God and stuff. And he got into this seeker-friendly, and he did a lot of it because of children's ministry and youth ministry. He got over into, well, we want to reach the young people, so we need to become more worldly. We want to reach them. We got to become more like the world. We got to offer them a little bit more like the world does, get them in. But he started doing this. In their church, they started doing this on Sunday morning. They started playing that music was from the 80s, Celebrate. You know, I don't know which rock group did that. But they started doing it. They started doing things like that. They started doing that music. We have here in town. I mean, it was in the newspaper, and the pastor over here at the Good Shepherd Church, they were, you know, playing 80s, you know, music, some of the good, you know, these good drug bands, you know, that, but they were popular songs, and people were playing, they're playing it, going, you go to in the church. And people are familiar with these things, and it helps them and relaxes them. Yeah, I'm in a place where the devil's at. I'm feeling really good. But anyhow, so I got rid of myself. But anyhow, God must have got a hold of him as a pastor because he was going on this direction. They stopped playing that music and they started playing some other music. In fact, they started playing some music. Like one of the songs we do here, God is Here. And it has the word Jesus in it. So I was reading online. There was a guy who went to his church and posted this thing online. You know, really a sort of mean thing about him. We went there, this church, and he got upset about this because he was brought in to this church with the world. You know, the world, and the church is the world. And he got upset. He said, oh, they used to pray to celebrate music and all that. That was really nice. Now they got this really Jesus stuff they're doing. Now, this guy's been going to this church for years. You know, he's never been born again. He hates the Jesus. But now we may say, but see, this is one of the things we need to understand is going on out here. We have people out here. We have groups. Churches are told not to use the name of Jesus too much in their messages and don't do too much because it offends people. And if you want to get people in, you can't do that. That's how you grow churches today. You leave Jesus on the outside. See, the American church world is filled with the Laodicean church. It's a Laodicean church. Jesus knocking at the door. He's trying to get in the church. He used to be in the church, but they put him out. They put him out. No more gifts of the Spirit. See, when gifts of the Spirit don't manifest, number one, we know this. People aren't being taught. So the laity just becomes people who come and sit in the church, and that's all. They don't expect to be used by God. They don't expect God to do it. They don't see themselves as anything much of it. We just come. So you don't have anybody who's shutting down the move of the Spirit in his church, so you can't talk in tongues, you can't do these different things. We're not allowed to have this stuff. We'll have a back room over here after the service, and if you need something, we'll minister to you there. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost ain't going into your back room. You'll go in all by yourself. He'll let you, but he'll lock a door on you. He'll let you back there. You ain't hiding Jesus in the church and the Holy Ghost be your buddy. It'll never happen. You can't put the Holy Ghost out without putting Jesus out. It's an impossibility. But see, they're doing this thing. Now this guy turns around and writes this thing, and I'm thinking, he's over here all upset about what this church has become. And I thought, this poor guy, he believes he's a Christian and he's not. They have deceived him and made him all these years believe he was a Christian. He was going to that thing. And now he's sitting on the outside and he's looking at them. I'm the Christian. They're not. If he'll end up in hell, I wouldn't be surprised if that pastor don't end up in hell if he don't repent. We can't be doing this junk. We're the church. The glory. Let's come back to the glory of the church. Hallelujah. God in you. These, look, verse 13, let's close with these. These things we also speak not in words, which words man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You see, if we stay with the spiritual, comparing the spiritual, we're teaching by the Holy Spirit. Today, it's how we can get the worldly stuff, we can get the man stuff and the spiritual stuff and have a joining together of them. That's what they're doing. This is what seeker friendly is. We're going to join spiritual with the natural. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to end up with a spiritual product. No, we don't. The Holy Spirit is teaching spiritual things and comparing them to the spiritual. And see, today is a very hard thing because see, we're a visual society. We have become a visual society. Everything's got to be seen. Everything's got to be put up there. You go to churches today. There's many churches that are all seen. It's all videos and it's all stuff. You know, men sit and watch stuff. We're seeing things all the time. People need to be seeing. People can't hear anymore. You know, I've heard a lot of people. I've heard Christian, born again Christian say, I just can't sit down and listen to a message on an MP3. I need to be able to see. I need to be able to watch. I can't listen. Why? Because people are seers. They're seers. What they see has the greatest effect on their life. And I found this out. Lots of times that's my problem. I got to quit seeing so I can get in faith. Hey, let's move away from seeing that problem. Or let's get away from hearing that problem. Let's get away from that. Let's get over here. Let's get over here to the Holy Ghost and spiritual being compared with spiritual, okay? I need to get over here where the spiritual things of God are being revealed to the spiritual things that I know and we can get it joined together and I can get somewhere. So I can go further. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. Listen to what it says. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Can the sinner know the stuff? Why does the world keep trying to teach the sinner? Why do we keep trying to reach the sinner through teaching? Why? You preach the gospel to them for them to be saved. See, I'm sorry. People don't want to hear. I didn't like hearing when the Holy Spirit dealt with me about being a sinner. I didn't like that. What's going to happen to your family? And I'm thinking the whole time, yeah, the way I'm living, my family's going to end up in hell because that's where I'm going. Oh, isn't that delightful? That was a wonderful thought. I mean, I was just really excited to hear that. You see, we want to take a message to people. We don't want to tell them the truth. You can't tell them Jesus saved. You can't just throw the end of it in. You got to tell them why they need saved. You know what? It's not comfortable. The gospel is not comfortable. It's not a comfortable thing. But I'm going to tell you what. Thank God for conviction. The Holy Ghost convicted Ed. I got saved through conviction of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't man's conviction. It was the Holy Spirit. See, I was born and knew enough about the Word of God and I knew enough about things. The Holy Spirit used those things that I knew. See, He used words that I heard when I was a kid, growing up. He used those words. See, somebody preached something. If I hadn't heard things, how would I know? But He used those things. Mike talks about a scripture. He gets a scripture. The Holy Ghost reveals a scripture to him. It becomes the whole downfall of sin. It's like, that's all it took. You see, a scripture, the Word. See, we need to understand the power of the Word. You got revelation of the Word, man. what you have in your hand. You're walking around with the loaded mystery. Hallelujah. Backed up by the power of God. You are. Hallelujah. Not some other guy someplace. You are. Think, just think of yourself, what God, you know, this is one thing. It's, it's one thing, it's listen to the Holy Spirit. Ask God to show you what to do and talking to people and stuff. Listen, Holy Spirit and the Word. Listen to what the Spirit tells you to do. Listen to those things. Join the two together. I'm going to tell you what, you're powerful. You're powerful. What God would do, God will do. All it takes is an individual to spark to believe what you have said. And the power of God will come. The power of God will come. Hallelujah. The revealing of the mystery. Hallelujah. But the natural man, he doesn't understand the things of spirit. Why? They're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Unspiritual people cannot understand spiritual things. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Now it says he judges all things. What's it talking about? Things of the Spirit. See, you can judge things of the Spirit. You know. You know what's spiritual and what's not. You know. If you have the Spirit in you, you can know what's spiritual and what's not. You judge those things. Don't judge. See, people go into that stupid stuff. No, you judge. You need to learn to judge what's spiritual and what's not. You got to know what's carnal and what's not. You have to know. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. You see this when we take a scripture and put it in its context, my Lord. See, you have, that's why I always say to you, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the mind of Christ. That's what this is teaching us. You have the mind of Christ. You have the deep mysteries of God is already inside of you. All you got to do is hook up to it. Hook up to it by faith. God reveals to me his mysteries. See, those are the things that I talk. See, he don't hide anything from me. He has taken these mysteries that were in the eons of the past and he saved them just for this day for Ed to know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has saved them for this time and he gave me the Holy Ghost just to show them to me. See, you gotta take it and make it that personal to you. That he'd do it for you. He didn't do it for just some preacher somewhere. Oh, some of them would like to you see that, you know. I got this wonderful book and this wonderful revelation and you, if you don't get it from me, you can't get it and whatever else. I don't know. It sells books, but I bought some of those books already and I've quit that over the years. These guys with this great revelation, when I sit down and read it, it's like reading a third grade, you know, math book. It's like, dear God, this guy, if that's some big revelation to him, he needs another dip. My God, we do better than that. Now, I want to show you something. Well, here's one thing you can know. See, when I used the scripture before in teaching and I talked about the fact of us, in 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, well, then he says, as workers together with him also plead with you. In other words, we're workers together with him. You're a worker together. You see how you're a worker together with him? You see what we've been looking at today? See, you're a worker together with God. You are. You are. You're a worker together. See, the mystery's been given to you. You can walk in it just as glorious as anybody else can walk in. There's no, just cause somebody has a certain gift to minister or something like that. What does that make it? See, that's why with Brother Hagin used to always say to us, now, when I look at the office and stuff he says in, but yet he'd speak to us and say, well, you'll go further, you can go further than I did. Well, if he was just a darn special, how could I go further than he did? But he understood the fact. He was a gift so men could go further. He understood the fact that what he was revealed to him was to give to others so they could go further. And it was given to the body, the whole body. It wasn't given to just ministers of some group or something. It was given to the entire body. Now, we finished here. I want to read something to you. It is in the dealing with 2 Corinthians there. Now, we finished off the second chapter. Now I want you to see this because this deals, it ended the second chapter, but I want you to understand this in its context of reading of where we're at with Paul talking to these people at Corinth. Because we're sitting in a church world today, and one of the sad things about this, we have many of our brothers and sisters are almost Christian illiterates. They don't know nothing. The average Christian is a baby, and the average pastor is no more today than an adolescent Christian. if they're that far. And it's sad. Because listen what Paul writes in the third chapter. See, this wasn't written in chapters and verses. It was continued in the discourse. When he ended there, that we have the mind of Christ. And he says, in chapter 3, he starts and says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" So see, this is a sad thing. That here he's writing to a church that he just got done telling what's been given to them, yet they can't get it because they have stayed carnal. Carnality. See, this is why living by the flesh. See, the devil has been good at his work and what he has done in the church world. He's like here in these last days. We see all this natural stuff going on that is so disturbing to so many. It is so disturbing, and everybody is. But what it is the natural things are keeping people, Christians, focused on the natural. And they are trying to respond to these things naturally. And they're staying carnal. The only way to respond to spiritual things is spiritually. There's no other way to respond to it. You can't bring spiritual change with carnal things. And see, the devil's big purpose is to get you to watch all that's going on around you to make you feel inferior. He wants to get you all upset about everything that's going on because he wants you to respond to it physically. He wants your response. Why? Here's one thing. He sees what revelation he sees coming through the church. He don't want the church to have any more. He don't want Christians to get any more revelation of the mystery. He knows what the mystery does to him. He knows. So he does what he can to keep people carnal. He does what he can. That's why he takes good things. You know, we had the wonderful teaching when I started off concerning in the areas of finances and stuff about learning. I'm thinking, learning about how to believe God for finances was a great blessing in Wanda and I's wife. Wonderful blessing. And to me, it's awful to see what some have done with this thing. They've turned it, and these ministers have become nothing but carnal. They don't even have revelation anymore on finances. They already talk about it in a carnal manner. They only use scriptures is to get to fill the lust of their flesh. They don't know how to speak. They don't speak from the spiritual anymore. They don't look at the people out there. You know, as a large church, and the minister tells me, you know, we call our people giving units. I told him, I said, you call me a giving unit, I'd never go to your church if I was somebody. I ain't your giving unit. This is Spirit-filled Rhema graduate. Say such a demonic thing about his people. You're just giving units. That's what you are. You're giving units. My God. If I ever get over into that, just take me down to the vet and give him a shot, put me to sleep. I'll tell you. Just, oh my God. Dear Lord. I just can't imagine. You know, if I had to say, that guy was my leader at one time. Appointed by Rhema as my leader. See, man, I can't travel this road. I can't travel this place. I can't think of people like that. I mean, it's like, I don't want nobody thinking of me like that. Just look at me as, I'm just something they can use. I'm just something. We don't want that. But people sit in churches and they hear these things and they have been so deceived and they have been built fleshly in the lust, the desire for certain things. They accept that about themselves. Do you think there are people going to be revealing the glory? The ministry won't even get revealed to them. They won't see the glory that they are. You're just a giving unit. I'm from this standpoint, as a minister, I'm a giving unit. That's my job. My job is to give to you so you know God. That's what I do. That's my job. That's the only reason the anointing works. And I understand why there's so many ministers that don't have much of an anointing. Because the anointing won't come in any other manner. You try to use it for yourself. If you do, it'll kill the anointing. The anointing is to minister to other people. What is given to me, I thank God from Kenneth Hagin. What was put in me was for the benefit of others. God will take care of me. God will bless. I do His will. If I turn around and do with the gift what I'm supposed to bless you, God will bless me. But the anointing is to bless you. The anointing is to teach the word so you can grow spiritually. That's what it's for. It's for your benefit. Learn to measure that with people when you listen to them. Who are they preaching to? Themselves, for themselves, or are they preaching for you? I can't stand these ministers always trying to preach money out of somebody's pocket. I believe in giving, but not just so I can put something in my, send it, you know, to me, you know. Gee, if you give to our ministry, you'll do this. Okay. No, you listen to the Holy Ghost. Listen what the Holy Spirit says. God's not going to have you just give money to some guy who says he's good ground. I don't care how, big ministry don't mean good ground. You listen to the Holy Ghost. Some of the greatest blessings I've gotten ready and given was given to what seemed pretty insignificant. But God prompted me to give it, and it worked. You know what? It was great ground because God told me to plant it. See, I'm totally convinced of this, that many people, many ministers are scared to people who learn to hear the Holy Ghost. I think that's what they're worried about. They'll learn to hear the Holy Ghost. They'll say, oh my God, I ain't doing this no more. I don't have to preach money out of my pocket. Hallelujah. If God can't speak to you about getting behind something, it ain't worth doing. It ain't sitting around and trying to talk people money out of their pockets. I mean, that just, I'm sorry. It's a good sign. It's a good sign that something's wrong. It's a good sign that there's something wrong. Hallelujah. But I just want you, and God wants you to get the picture this morning of who you really are and what you've become. How glorious you've become. What God made of every believer in the church. And just think around believers around you that don't know this, that they don't know these things. They're not being taught those things. They're being, Christians are still being taught that, well, you know, God really don't need you. And God really, to me, that is such a terrible, terrible thing that people, you know, I'm insignificant to God. It's like Mike was sharing this morning. Look what God's gift was to us. Jesus Christ. I mean, God the Son came to the earth to save us, and we're insignificant. He don't need us. You know? Well, you know, then that's like today that, you know, you go out and these people and they just buy stuff all the time and buy things they really don't need. They're just collectors of stuff and they just get more junk. And you know what? Nothing's really important to them. It's just having stuff. And they're doing that. See, nothing's really important. That's what they put God did. God came in His buying salvation to reach man. But we weren't significant. He just wanted something else in His collection. And it's His Son and it says He loves you. That's like the guy that owns 20 Ferraris that are in some warehouse somewhere that he never drives or ever hardly ever goes sees and looks at. And they're sitting there and saying, He loves those Ferraris. No, He loves the idea about those Ferraris. But He don't really love those. It's just having stuff. That's what He loves. What's in His mind is what He loves. In that little bent mind that He got going up there, that little twisted mind, it's what He got going. God literally loves you. It's not an afterthought. He don't look down at the earth and said, well, you know, hate to see Billy Graham. He had to come up here to us and there ain't many people down there I love as much anymore. You know, Billy was great. You know, you guys down there, I love you, but, you know. You know, you know, good luck, but He loves you. When we tell the sinners in the world, God loves, God looks down and God says this to the sinner in the world, you're under my wrath. But if you accept my Son, you can get under my glory. That's how much He loves man. You deserve every bit of my wrath, but if you'll receive my Son, you can have my glory. See, that's the picture of in the Bible, the guy that owed to his master, you know, I forget what the amount was. What it was just showed that it was an insignificant amount of debt he had. And the master said, you know what, this is what you owe. You owe to have your family sold and everything you have sold to pay the debt. Your family and everything. You need to lose it all. See, God was telling me that's what happened to me. I was losing it all. I was losing everything. My family, the whole thing. You owe the debt of it all. That's what you do, you know? And the guy just said to him, have mercy on me. And the master said, okay, just forget it. We'll just cancel that debt. That's what God's doing. And we need to tell people, God loves you. His wrath is on you. And you're going to have to face His wrath if you don't deal with the sin problem. And there's only one way to do that, is with Jesus. And God will cancel the debt of sin. Hallelujah. Like Mike said, you talk about good. You owe me my wrath poured out on you for eternity for your sinful life. That's what you owe. Now, how can you put it? What's the worth of eternity? That's how bad the judgment was on us. That's how awful the judgment was on you and me. See, we can tell people, there's a judgment and it's God. You know, I've heard a lot of people in church here tell about what the devil's going to get you. I'm sorry. When it deals final judgment, that's God. That's God's wrath. It's not the devil. You don't go to hell to be punished by the devil. You go there to be punished. It's punishment of God. And then you go to the lake of fire for final judgment. For eternity. Eternity. But no human would ever have to face that. No human would ever have to face that. Why? Because of God's love. But people need to know that judgment is set on them already. That's why it says, you know, we think, you know, God so loved the world. But already it tells us there, if you read down through, the judgment's already set on the sinner. It's already set on him. We don't judge the world. The world's already judged. The judgment is already set. The wrath of God abides on them. Hallelujah. The wonderful Holy Spirit revealed Jesus. And we came out from under the wrath of God to the blessing. To where God moved in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know. I preached me happy today. I'm glad I preached that message. I tell you what. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good. It's good. Hallelujah. We're going over and not under. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Father, I thank you this morning for your kindness, goodness, and mercy in Christ Jesus. Father God. Father, your word is full of so much wonderful things. And then you speak to us. It's, well, we got to have faith in Jesus. Makes it pretty easy to have faith. When those wonderful and glorious things that we can see. And Lord God, we just want to let you know this morning how much we thank you for removing judgment from us when we responded to Jesus. The Lord God, that we don't have to face the wrath to come. There's glory to be faced. In these days and time for us, and in the ages to come. Hallelujah. Of the things that you've prepared for us that we haven't even seen yet. Hallelujah. I just want to thank you. Lord God, I want to thank you for a glorious church. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus. For in a church world, Lord God, that you open up the eyes of understanding and lightened hearts to your words. Lord God, that people begin to see. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that men's hearts in the church become uncomfortable in the situations they're in. Lord God, that they begin a longing to understand and to comprehend. That, Lord God, that men would begin to search and look after the things of God so the Holy Spirit can reveal the wonderful mysteries of the truth that have been hidden specifically for them to understand and know and comprehend. That men would rise up in this day in glory. Hallelujah, that you have planned for us. And Father, I thank you for taking the time to reveal to us. Lord, the word is just such treasure. It's such treasure when the Holy Spirit brings those revelations to us. It's such a treasure and a refreshing. And Lord God, in these days and times, oh, how many times it seems that, Lord God, we get dry, but I want to thank you. You always have a cool cup to hand us to drink of. And this morning, I thank you for that refreshing cup from the well of the water of God. Hallelujah. The Lord God, that we can see and we're refreshed, Lord God. And Lord God, life moves in us in power again in the name of Jesus. And we stand up in the glory that we've been called in. Hallelujah. Glory to God, there's no frailty among us. Hallelujah. Father God, that victory is ours and belongs to us. Hallelujah. Lord, we're not nobodies, we're somebodies. Hallelujah. And not because we have done anything great, but you have made us somebodies through your glory, through faith in Christ Jesus. And we're going to stand and walk in it and live in it and enjoy it. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we want to give it to others and take it to others. Father God, I thank you for the anointing of God. I thank you for a breaking forth in the body of Christ. And Lord God, and on what many just call the laity, Father God, they're your children. They're your ministers, Lord God. Raise them up in the name of Jesus and anoint them, Lord God, and send them forth in the victory that you've called them to. Hallelujah. Of ministers, Lord God, of your anointing and power. Lord God, use them, hallelujah, mightily. Father, as Kenneth Hagin said, that they would go, that we would go beyond him. And I pray that they go beyond the ministers of the church world. I pray that the laity rise up in the greatness of the glory that's upon them. Hallelujah. And show forth the shining of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're expecting mighty and wonderful things. I thank you for this age and time. It may be falling apart as men look, but I want to tell you, Lord God, we know this. You will uphold your people. We will stand and glory will be upon us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, and the church of Jesus Christ will not fail, for the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory.